Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication of the Society for Music Theory.
This is the third episode in Alex Yonker and Peter Schumert's five-episode miniseries on idiomatic improvisation as a pedagogical technique in the music theory and oral skills classroom. This episode is the only one in the series where the improvisation uses notation, asking students to harmonize a chant melody with a very limited set of rules in order to introduce unfamiliar sounds like parallel perfect fourths.
Hi, I'm Alex Yonker, and I'm back with my colleague and mentor, Peter Schubert. This is our third episode of our idiomatic improvisation series. Today's episode focuses on Phoberdone. This is our one activity of the set that uses notation as part of the improvisation activity.
Yeah. So in the Renaissance, one of the, I think, probably the most common form of improvisation was singing on the book. And the book is a book that contains lots of Gregorian chants. And the way they improvised on it was one person sang the chant, and another person kind of looked over their shoulder and made up a line based on what they saw in the chant. And there's lots of different ways to do this, but the simplest is Phoberdone, where the person looking over the shoulder basically does parallel motion with the cantus firmus. But it does get more difficult at the beginning and ends of phrases. You can make a cadence, so forth. Plus, it's actually a three-part exercise, and I found that it's very useful to have the student responsible for all three parts. So what you'll hear is the student eventually plays the cantus firmus and doubles it at the fourth below, so at the piano playing parallel fourths, and then singing the tenor part, which is the one that basically goes in parallel motion.
This activity then is a little bit less free than the other ones that we've done also.
Oh my where... God, it's completely unfree.
Like yeah.
Everything, every note is accounted for. There's a rule for every note. The beginning has to be an octave below. The end has to be an octave below. There's a cadence that you make that you have to add to the chant if it doesn't already have one. So this offers absolutely no freedom, but it allows the student to improvise harmony according to a formula in real time.
I think one of the best things about this activity is it introduces students to sounds that they haven't really heard before or not super familiar with. This, the idea of hearing perfect fourths, a lot of them have a big reaction to this. Like, this is kind of a weird sound to them.
Yeah.
And they like it, but it's not something that they're used to.
Right. It's a good thing. They've probably heard of Phoberdone in their history class, but really getting inside it is an entirely different experience. And it's very rich. Every chord has... almost every chord has three pitch classes, so it's a very rich sound.
Our student improviser for today is Grant.
I'm Grant Kane. I am a cello performance major in second year.
Okay, so Grant, in front of you there, you have several little tunes, and they are sort of like hymn tunes in the 15th century. So it's sort of Gregorian chant time. Mm. And in the 15th century, they improvised in a style called Phoberdone. Do you know what Phoberdone is?
Vaguely.
Okay.
From music history.
From history,
yes.
Right. That's where they would teach it. Okay. So I'm going to show you how to put together a Phoberdone on this tune. So first, why don't you just play the first phrase of number one there? Okay, good. And in order to make a good cadence, they would add two notes at the end, which would be F sharp and G, tacked on to the end. So why don't you play that?
The whole thing.
Yeah.
That's it. And now what you get to do is sing in parallel sixths all the way through.
Okay.
So you have to find the note that's a sixth below the first note, and then you have to just imitate the contour while you play, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, you've got the right idea, except okay. You're singing in the wrong octave. I think it'd be easier for you if you sing that one, that F there, that A.
Oh.
No.
This
one, yeah, that's it. Now you're not singing it. That's the one. Keep going. You got to get cadence. That's it. And so then the final adventure is, it's not really the final one, but is to have an octave below the first note and an octave below the last note. So you're going to, other than that, it's all sixths all the way through. Mm-hmm. But the first one, you're going to start an octave below the first note, and when you get to the end, you'll be an octave below the G.
So, you go up. Okay, yeah.
That's it. That was great. Yeah. So do it again. Like put it together a little bit.
Yeah. And can you sing it with an open mouth?
Yes. Yeah.
Just so
yeah.
We can hear it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to go back to the G.
Exactly. It's hard because you're so used to going in parallel, and suddenly you're going in contrary,
yeah.
And you have to decide how far to go. Like, you did very well at the beginning,
yeah.
Because you knew that if the cantus drops a step, you go up a step,
yeah.
To get to a six. That was really,
yeah.
Good. Okay, so
yeah.
Finally, the coup de grace here is to play the tune with an alto part that's always a perfect fourth below the melody.
Okay.
So you can do that first. Why don't you just play the parallel fourths?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I can see from your face that you think these are the weirdest noises you've ever heard. And
yeah,
it's
parallel.
True because 15th century harmony is not like our
harmony.
Cool,
though.
It's cool, but it's very different. Okay, so now you get to put all those things together. You get to sing the tenor part that you sang,
okay.
Starting on F, and you get to play two voices in your hands.
Okay.
Follow the contour of the upper,
yeah.
Line.
Oh, no.
That's it. That was so great. But do it again so you really put it all together.
Yeah.
Now that you know to go down at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo! That was excellent. Really good. That was really good.
One of the biggest adventures, I think, with this activity, which you heard Grant struggle with, is differentiating between singing in parallel motion and singing in contrary motion. They really get stuck in this loop of singing everything in parallel motion, and then when they get to the cadence, it's often very hard for them to switch their brains and then sing in contrary motion to get to that tonic note again. Another difficulty a lot of students have here is this calculation at the very beginning. So the endings are hard, but beginnings are hard too, where they have to kind of make this mental calculation of, I'm starting at an octave below this pitch, and I need my next sung pitch to be a sixth below. So the calculation they're doing in real time is, what interval do I have to sing and in what direction so that I can sing the note under the next pitch? Peter, you mentioned there's other ways to do this activity. So we heard Grant walk through a very strict set of procedures here. How else could we have our students do this activity?
Well, one of the other techniques that I use in my advanced improvisation classes is something called contrapunto fugato, which is where you look at the chant, but instead of singing in parallel in homorhythm, you actually try to put a florid motive against the cantus firmus. And I've had some success with that, but it's terribly difficult. Once, Julie Cumming, my colleague here, and I gave a paper at the AMS and about contrapunto fugato and improvising on a long note cantus firmus. And at the end of it, Richard Taruskin, who is actually an old friend of both of us, came up to us and said, "This is great what you're doing." He said, "We should have been doing this years ago, but we were too afraid." And I think one of the problems with doing improvisation is the teacher who's the one who's scared. I think the students are actually much less afraid. But for the teacher to be willing to enter this vulnerable state is pretty scary.
In our next episode, you'll hear another historical improvisation technique from the Renaissance period. Improvising first species canons. So join us next time to hear about that.
We want to extend our thanks to all of the students who improvised for us in the early stages of this project, including Maria Delaney, Rachel Hoddle, Ben Charo, Nick Miskey, Mia Moore, Lavinia Lee, Alice Renault, Emily Popolo, Jasper Ward, Hubert Paré, and Grant Kane. Not only did their performances help us develop our ideas, but we also had a lot of fun in the process. Thanks to Jack Kelly for his help with the recording setup, and thanks to the staff at the Marvin Duchaux Music Library at the Schulich School of Music for their assistance in acquiring the recording equipment. Thanks also to our colleagues Lisa Lorenzino, Isabel Cossette, and Justin Mariner for their feedback and sharing ideas on improvisation and pedagogy. To Nick Miskey, thanks for suggesting the title Idiomatic Improvisation. And finally, a big thanks to the production team at SMT Pod, who made the publication process smooth and made helpful suggestions throughout to make this work the best it could be. Our team lead, Caitlin Martinkus, our peer reviewers, Phil Duker and Joe Strauss, and our production leads, Amy Hatch and Katrina Rausch. Thanks.
Visit our website, smt-pod.org, for supplemental materials related to this episode and to learn how to submit an episode proposal. And join in the conversation by tweeting us your questions and comments at @SMT_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Maria Tartaglia, with closing music by Ika Zhang. Thanks for listening.